Well, hello and welcome to the Finnish National Housing First Development Network podcast, season 2 and episode 2. I'm the lead coordinator of the network, Juha Kahila, and here is with me in the studio, Arthur Juha as well. Welcome, Juha.
Thank you. And we have a third person also here, the director of the only European NGO which is focusing on exclusively on the fight against homelessness. Mr. Freek Spinevin, welcome.
Thank you.
We are going to talk about homelessness in Europe and how to reduce it. But first, before digging into homelessness, could you tell us a bit about who is Freek and how he ended up in the field of homelessness?
Well, Freek is a Belgian national, married with three children, teenage children, actually more than teenage children. My oldest is 21 or 22 now. I studied medieval history at university, so not anything directly related to homelessness, and sort of got into the European NGO sector by accident. I worked for a while for a European network, a European NGO working on aging issues for a couple of years. And from there, I sort of rolled into FEANSA, worked for a couple of months as a policy officer. And then the director left, I applied for the post of director, and I'm now director of FEANSA since 20 years. So I like the job. I'm really fascinated and motivated to work on homelessness, but I entered into the sector more by accident than anything else.
Okay, that's interesting. Maybe someday this will be history, not medieval history, but history.
It will be medieval history at some point, but it will take a long time.
Okay, so you're the director of FEANSA. What is FEANSA?
Well, FEANSA is, it changed a little bit in the last couple of years, but it started off as a European organization bringing together NGOs working on homelessness. In the beginning, our members were almost exclusively organizations providing, NGOs providing shelter, night shelter, longer-term shelter, different kinds of shelter for homeless people. But in the last couple of years, we evolved into a more diverse network. We have more and more organizations providing housing solutions to homeless people. And since 2 years, we opened up the membership of FEANSA to non-NGOs as well, like public authorities, national authorities, or local authorities, cities. But the predominantly, the membership is still NGOs working with homeless people. And what FEANSA does is what many other NGOs at European level do. We lobby the European Union, the European Commission in particular, to work on homelessness, but also other international governmental institutions like the OECD or the UN, etc. We try, it sounds maybe a little bit hollow, but what we try to do is to organize mutual learning, exchanges of interesting practices at European level. So many of our members have the same questions, but different answers, and we try to confront them with a diversity of answers, and that should inject some creativity in the way they can address homelessness, they organize their services. But what is probably atypical for FEANSA is, and as compared to other European NGOs, is that we also do research. We have a research network inside the FEANSA structure. It's a network of academics, and they do research for us. They publish a European journal on homelessness, until recently the only international journal on homelessness to my knowledge, and they do also thematic research for us. So that's probably a little bit atypical. And for the rest, we do communications, have several websites, etc. So if you start off with visiting FEANSA's website, www.feansa.org, you will get connection to other websites. But that's more or less what we do as a European NGO.
Yeah, there sure is a lot of going on at the moment. But you mentioned that you have members. How many members do you have, and are there, how many countries are involved? So what countries are these members coming from, and what kind of members? You mentioned that you have new policies that for example, from Finland, ARA has joined FEANCE and stuff like that. So has there been many new members also?
Yes. Well, maybe first a question, like how many countries do we cover? We are funded by the European Union, and it restricts a little bit our scope, our geographical scope. So we work mostly in the European Union member states. And amongst the 27 European member states, we have members in 25. So almost in all member states. In some countries, we have a lot of members, like in France, for instance. In other countries, we have less members. It depends a little bit of how many actors there are in the different different countries. Of course, we also have the UK as part of our membership or organizations in the UK, because the UK, as you know, was until recently part of the European Union. And then we have some members, but not many, outside of the European Union, in Norway, in Switzerland, a few. But really, the focus is the European Union. And as you said, we are gradually diversifying the membership and allow for state agencies or public organizations or semi-public organizations, like is the case in Finland with ARA. But that's, of course, a slow process. We changed our statutes to allow the diversification of the membership only 2 years ago. But we have increasingly cities as members. Just a couple of weeks ago, we got the application of the city of Paris to become members. So it's gradually diversifying. But you could say that most of our members provide temporary accommodation for homeless people, and increasingly also organizations providing housing solutions. And I think Y Foundation Usatio is a great example for that.
Yeah, and also Y Foundation and FEANCE have co-founded the Housing First European Hub. Could you tell a little bit about the hub situation at the moment?
Yes, maybe the background basically is that we have been arguing as FEANCE that you can solve homelessness. And when you say you can solve homelessness, you have to also go a step further and say, how do you solve homelessness? And Housing First is one of these promising innovations. I don't know if you can still say innovation, because it has been around for more than a decade now. But we had to sort of dive into the issue of Housing First, try to understand how it works and promote it European-wide. And therefore, we set up, together with Y Foundation, this Housing First Europe Hub. And the aim of the hub is basically to help all interested parties to do Housing First, to help public authorities that have an interest in Housing First to scale it to the necessary level. So we organize trainings, we follow research, we finance research, we do communications, of course. Also, more and more, we enter into the field of lobbying. So it's gradually expanding its activities. And even if it is a sort of a joint venture, an initiative of Y Foundation together with FEANCE, there is more than a dozen other partners who contribute financially to the hub, but more importantly, who also run some of the activities. And as you can imagine, it's the hub is in high demand, because when we launched the idea, we had probably a third of the member states in the European Union that had an interest in Housing First, most of them not even doing Housing First. Now, I think you have more than half of the EU member states actually experimenting with Housing First, and they are keen to use the resources that exist. And the hub has some of these resources available, such as a training guide for organizations or authorities that want to do Housing First.
Yeah, exactly. That sounds good, and that's how we see the hub here in Y Foundation also. So great explanation.
It's good to know that we're on the same wavelength.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. But now we have come to the Housing First section, and how do you see the Housing First development in the scale of the whole Europe at the moment? Because we know that in many countries and cities, there is Housing First project. There are small pilots that are trying to scale up. And but nowadays, in these days, we have also new national programs coming up, for example, in Scotland. What is the big picture in Housing First in the whole Europe level? Where are we going?
Well, maybe start with the EU as such. The European Union is about to launch some kind of an action plan on homelessness. They call it the EU Collaboration Platform on Homelessness, which is supposed to support member states improve the way they address homelessness. And it's very clear that Housing First will be a priority for that platform, for that collaboration platform. So it's good to know for us that the European Union is sort of embracing Housing First as an approach with huge potential. So that's the first thing. And I'm quite excited about it because until recently, the European Union was not keen to profile itself on the issue of homelessness and actually take it up as a social policy priority. Now it is, and Housing First will be a prominent feature of that EU action. If you look at the 27 member states, like I said just before, 10 years ago, to my knowledge, there was only one country in the European Union doing actually Housing First, and that was Finland. And since then, lots has happened. And I think now we can easily say that more than half of the EU member states, so you're talking about probably 13, 14, 15 countries that are doing Housing First in one way or another. Of course, there is a big difference between having Housing First as your primary intervention strategy when it concerns homelessness, like is the case in Finland, maybe also gradually becoming the case in countries like Denmark or Norway. Norway is outside of the European Union, or maybe even Scotland now. Most countries are actually, or not most countries, but quite a number of countries are actually in between having Housing First as a standard policy intervention and experimentation with Housing First. So they're sort of trying to move from experimentation to bring it to scale. And that's quite a number of countries. You have France, Belgium, Netherlands. Also in Eastern Europe, the Czech Republic is making quite a bit of progress. So these are the interesting countries where a lot of political momentum is currently around the issue of Housing First. And then you have the countries that are still experimenting, small experiments, big experiments, some very big experiments. Countries like Germany, Austria, etc., are experimenting more with Housing First, and probably are still probably still need a bit of time to bring it to scale. Although I was reading this morning an interview with the person, the minister is called the senator of responsible for homelessness in Berlin, basically saying that they want to solve homelessness by 2030, and they want to use the Housing First model as applied in Finland as the model to follow. So there is a lot. And then, of course, there is the countries where nothing is happening on Housing First, which still exist. And these are the countries where we'll have to invest a little bit of time. And I don't have mentioned all the countries completely. I mean, Spain is also bringing Housing First to scale. Italy is doing the same. So it's a bit of a mixed picture. But the interest to work on Housing First is there. And that's a good ground, a fertile ground to organize European and international cooperation on Housing First. And that's what the hub can offer.
Okay, you were talking about the political momentum of adapting Housing First. And then you mentioned the EU launching a statement on Housing First, or applying Housing First on the European level. The Parliament gave a statement last year to the Commission to reducing homelessness by 2030 in Europe. How does it proceed in practice? I mean, the Parliament giving the kind of statement, and how does it go on?
Well, maybe first to say that the mobilization around the issue of homelessness in the European Parliament is quite remarkable. I'm now 20 years in Fianza, and I've never seen so many reports mentioning homelessness coming from the European Parliament. And you're right to say that there was a resolution voted by the plenary of the European Parliament last November, calling for an end to homelessness in 2030, but also coming up with a whole range of suggestions, what needs to be done at European level and at member state level to address homelessness. And Housing First features well in that report. But maybe even more important than the actual content is that resolution has been voted by 95% of the members of the European Parliament. So 95% of the MEPs were in favor of this. And it's very, very rare at European level to get such an overwhelming support for a social issue and basically a request, a call for more EU action on a social issue. So there is almost consensus in the European Parliament that the EU needs to do more on this homelessness. Actually, in more than half of the member states, the entire political spectrum voted for this report, for this resolution, from the extreme right to the extreme left and everything in between. That's really remarkable. And I think that the commissioner responsible for homelessness or social policy, but including homelessness, Commissioner Schmidt, he knows that. It's a really solid political base that is offered for him. And just last week or 2 weeks ago, the European Parliament voted another report on affordable housing with an important section on homelessness, which was again adopted by the plenary. So there is a lot of momentum in the Parliament. But unlike in a member state, the European Parliament is not a co-legislator or a co-decider. Certainly not when it comes when it concerns social policy, and certainly not homelessness. So what we have to do is to use the momentum in the European Parliament to put political pressure on the European Commission and the member states to act on homelessness together at EU level. The European Commission is not obliged to follow what the Parliament suggest, but given the overwhelming support for a call for more EU action, I cannot imagine that the European Commission would ignore it. And I don't think they want to ignore it. I already said that Commissioner Schmidt wants to launch this EU collaboration platform. So I think the future is relatively bright, you know, like the momentum is there. The Parliament wants something to happen. The European Commission has the tools to make something happen, and the member states seem to be sufficiently interested to join in a European cooperation initiative on homelessness. So it looks quite positive, I have to say.
It sure does, and the momentum is definitely there. I'm just wondering that even though you said that in many countries there has been quite a lot of interest in the Housing First model, but there are also quite diversity between different countries how they treat homeless people. For example, we have Hungary and they put homeless people to jail, and then we have some other countries that will fine homeless people, and then we have France that will, you know, they spend, like you tweeted a couple of weeks ago, they spend $4 billion for hostels and shelters a year. So how does this all come up? What are the tools for EU to pressure the state countries to take more action on housing first and, you know, make affordable social housing priority?
Yes, it's a good question, and it's not because a country is criminalizing street homelessness at local level that there is nothing happening on Housing First. So often you have a mixed picture of bad things happening and good things happening at the same time, or a country that is continuing to invest in shelter but still tries to upscale Housing First. So it's not one or the other. And I think we have to be careful as Fianza to oppose shelter and Housing First, certainly in the process of bringing it to scale, because you want to have the shelter sector on board. They're a key player to bring Housing First to scale. And like you did in Finland, you can actually convince the shelter sector in due time to reconvert the shelter capacity in Housing First units. So it's a mixed picture. You cannot say that there is countries only doing Housing First and then all other countries not doing anything on Housing First. It's often the complication, as you know, is that you have to shift from one system to the other system, and that takes time. But the European Union can push member states in the right direction. Like, one obvious way to do that is to make sure that the money that is made available through EU funds and EU financing mechanisms, like the European Social Fund or the European Regional Development Fund, is primarily going to innovations like Housing First. It would probably be a waste to invest that money also in shelter. So maybe the European Union can be more proactive, the European Commission can be more proactive to encourage member states to use the European money that is available to actually invest in Housing First, so that it's that it helps to make the shift from one system to the other system. I think that would be an obvious thing that the European Union could do, and we're actually trying to get them to do just that.
Okay, thank you for the idea of a mixed picture, that there are different kind of developments going on, good things and bad things not at the same time. But we are talking about the reducing homelessness and how there's some hope in this. But at the same time, there has been an increase of 70% in last decades on the number of homeless people. And I guess we really don't know how many there are, in fact, homeless in Europe nowadays, and at the same time the profile of European homelessness is kind of evolving. There have been children and elderly and minorities and migrants and women and families increasingly at risk. Do you think that there is a need for different kind of solutions for different vulnerable groups, or is Housing First is going to be the solution for everyone?
It's a complicated context in which we work in a way, because on the one hand we have seen a drastic increase in the number of people that experience homelessness, like 70% increase in 10 years, even if it's just an estimation done by FEANSA. Like, it's massive, you know, like if you compare that to the anti-poverty measure indicator that is used by the European Union, that has basically remained stable over the same period. So there is something happening at the bottom end of society, which is really concerning. And at the same time, we're promoting Housing First, like, so the demand for emergency measures is increasing, and at the same time we want to do Housing First. But I think we can live with that complexity, you know, like I think we should not give up promoting Housing First. But I think what we also should be doing is invest more in prevention. And I think we often refer to Finland as an example to follow when it comes to Housing First. But maybe we should also look at Finland as an example to follow in relation to prevention. It's years ago already that Finland invested more and more in very targeted prevention. And I think there is massive scope for progress in the area of prevention. There is, of course, the obvious focus on evictions and prevention of evictions, but there is, like, that will not just prevent homelessness from occurring. There is other routes into homelessness. Migration is one of them. Institutional release, release from prison, release from psychiatric care. These are all routes into homelessness, very well identified in Finland, and there is actions to address that. So I think prevention is certainly one of the other areas that we have to focus on. And then I think we also have to be clear that Housing First is another way of addressing homelessness. It's not just one additional service that we have to add next to night shelter and short stay shelter and middle stay shelter and long-term shelter. It actually is a new philosophy. It's a new approach to addressing homelessness. And even if we know that Housing First doesn't work for everybody, there is still people who fail Housing First, it's better to offer it to all of them and then think of alternatives once people have failed. Also because of one important reason is that it seems extremely difficult to know beforehand what type of homeless person will fail Housing First. So it's better to offer it, and it works for most anyway. So I guess it's better to offer it as a standard intervention and then think of alternatives for people who fail Housing First. But I think we also have to accept that Housing First is mainly aimed at homeless people that suffer from chronic homelessness, or people with extremely complex needs, very complex needs, and that maybe there is easier, lighter housing-led interventions that can be applied to people with shorter stays of homelessness or less complex needs. So I think it's a plethora of interventions that you have to offer. But I think that what is most important is that we have to use Housing First to transform the way that homelessness is addressed, and that we get away from managing homelessness in the shelter system to ending homelessness by using housing-led, housing-first approaches.
Yeah, exactly like you said. And I think the prevention part is crucial at the moment. And when we know that Housing First works, but that is at the same time, there are many people becoming homeless. So it's like a zero-sum game.
Yes,
in some ways.
Maybe if I can add as well, like we have to also accept that Housing First is a policy and an approach in development. Even in Finland, there is money going into innovation to rethink the way social support is organized, etc. So it moves Housing First. It's not finished as an approach. It's not like an approach that has been that has been decided and that you have no space in changing and tweaking it here and there. And so if things doesn't work, let's try to understand why they don't work and address them rather than use the failure that you will see with some people when you offer Housing First, rather than use that failure to question Housing First. So I think it's really important to say it's something in development, in construction still, because I see too many people that are long involved in homelessness to say, well, I told you that Housing First wouldn't work. Look at this person. This person has failed Housing First. Even in Finland, there is people failing Housing First, but it doesn't lead to questioning the Housing First as a main paradigm in homeless policy intervention. So let's pitch it as something that can still evolve over time rather than question it when it doesn't go right for some people.
Yeah, exactly. It's evolving. And I think one of the many good examples is in Finland that we made the Housing First 2.0. So we tried to figure it out how to take the Housing First to the next century, to 2020. But as we have talked about a little bit about the Finnish Housing First model, how do you see our model of Housing First? You mentioned that we have converted the shelters to supported housing units. Do you think that the Finnish model is Housing First, or do you see it some other way? It's a housing led model or something else? Because I've heard in these years a lot of criticism over the Finnish model that, hey, but you're not doing Housing First. How do you see it?
Yes, there is some I think it's inevitable when you pitch a country as a model that there will be people looking for the flaws of the model. But what is interesting is that some people that have discovered the flaws will realize that in Finland people are very open about the things that don't work about Housing First. So I think that people from outside Finland think that Housing First is a set policy and not in not evolving in Finland, but it's actually evolving. Like, you're constantly looking with a critical eye what is not working as it should and try to adapt that, you know. So it's not as if Finnish people are not aware of the weaknesses here and there, but overall it works, and you can see it from the downward trend. Like, homelessness has consistently decreased over the last 10 to 15 years. And if I'm right, the latest figures that have been produced by ARA show again that there is a continued decrease. So now I forgot what your actual question was. You asked me if Finland does do Housing First. Yes, I think so. But what is really interesting is that in Finland you have a very practical and pragmatic approach to bring it to scale. So you're flexible without undermining the basic principles of Housing First, like the whole discussion about congregate Housing First. Yes, there is some part of the homeless population that lives in a communal, a collective Housing First setting. And you found out that for some people that works. But what is important is that in Finland, nobody is forced in a collective housing first if they don't want to be there. Or if they're there and they think that it's nothing for them anymore, they can move on to a scattered form of a housing first. So I think that in Finland, there is less taboos around housing first. So there is a space for congregate settings in housing first, but it's a minority. Correct me if I'm wrong, Juha, but I've always been told that less than one in five housing first beds, if you can, or housing first dwellings are in congregate settings. So the overwhelming majority is still in scattered housing first, but there is a space congregate housing first. If you want to get the buy-in from the shelter sector and make them an actor in housing first, it is very smart to have the possibility to convert shelters into housing first units. Of course, the capacity will be radically reduced, but it is also a way to get the shelter sector involved. So I like the sort of pragmatic, hands-on way Finland has brought housing first to scale and made it the principal paradigm, intervention paradigm. So yes, my answer is yes, you're doing housing first, but you're smart and pragmatic about it. And that's what we need.
Yeah, and I liked, like you said, that we are pragmatic, and I think there has been one joke that other countries are still talking about it, and we're doing it. And you're absolutely right that majority is, of course, scattered housing, and the housing units are just a small part of the housing first.
Indeed.
But then the other question in Europe regarding housing first is the lack of affordable housing that we already spoke about a little bit. But in your eyes, you're in the perfect spot to see the whole Europe. What is, you know, if you put the housing first in the time frame, how do you see it? If 2030, is it achievable to have, you know, enough affordable social housing all around the Europe by that time frame, or are we looking more 2040, 2050? Question.
Yes, indeed. I think 2030 is around the corner, and it's probably difficult to solve homelessness by 2030. Not to say impossible, certainly in the whole of Europe. That doesn't mean that in some countries we can make very quick progress towards functional zero. Like I think Finland needed about 15 years to do it, and maybe some countries can do it slightly quicker. So I don't want to be too cynical about it, but many countries will need more time, and it's no problem as long as you change the way we think about homelessness. I'm sorry to repeat myself, but if you can change the policy paradigm from trying to end homelessness rather than trying to manage homelessness in the shelter system, that would already be progress. If we could have all countries, all 27 EU member states embracing that paradigm, I think that would be already quite important. But the link between scaling housing first or solving homelessness and affordable housing issue, of course, they are related, but I think we also don't have to avoid stepping into the trap that we need a perfectly functioning housing market before we can make progress on reducing homelessness. Like, I don't think Finland has the perfect housing market at the moment, and still you managed to reach almost functional zero or to almost end chronic homelessness. So it's for me, it's a perfect example where you can have a housing-led, housing-first approach, even if the housing market context is not ideal. And I'm quite wary of the argument that before we can focus on homelessness, we first have to solve the housing market issues. But I don't think homeless people can wait. And certainly with the increases we see in many countries at the moment, they can certainly not wait. It will make the homeless problem only more severe. So I think that we have to overcome the taboo about prioritizing homeless people when it comes to allocation of social housing, for instance, or prioritizing people when it comes to making housing allowance system available, etc. I know it's a bit of a taboo in many countries still, but I don't see why in countries that have a social housing stock that is largely above 10 or 15%, why they cannot do a bigger effort to have more homeless people prioritized in their allocation policy. So really my answer, it's not a complete answer. I know that, we have to do something about the affordable housing crisis. But please, let's not wait until that's entirely solved because before we try to address homelessness and scale housing first.
Okay. You mentioned housing markets. What do you think are the major challenges? What would be the ideal housing market?
The ideal housing market, like really, like I don't feel expert enough to answer that question, but I'm sure that you need a balance between rental and home ownership. Of course, we need more social housing. We need to invest, like public authorities need to invest more in social housing. The EU rules have to allow member states to also invest more in social housing. That's absolutely clear. Like I don't know any country where there is no more need for social housing, and that's something we support. But what is the ideal housing market? I guess it depends from country to country. But again, I can only emphasize that we don't need an ideal housing market before we should start reducing homelessness. You can do that within an unideal housing market. And Finland is, if you allow me to say, is not the ideal housing market either. And still you manage to have impressive results in the area of homelessness.
Yeah, we don't mind you say that because we know it's true. Here is not ideal housing market at the moment, and still we are trying our best to erase homelessness altogether.
Yes, and, maybe I can give a counter example, like the country. And again, we need more social housing. But allow me to give this example. The country with the highest proportion of social housing as part of the total housing stock is the Netherlands, with 1/3 of the entire housing stock is social housing. And still that country has seen a doubling of the number of homeless people or people experiencing homelessness to 35,000, if I'm not mistaken, in the last 7-8 years. So you see that even having a huge social housing stock is not necessarily a guarantee to be able to reduce homelessness. Like it even is no guarantee that it can explode the number of homeless people. So of course, housing market dynamics and homelessness are related, but you also need to be able to look at homelessness, try to develop housing-led and housing-first solutions, irrespective of the housing market context.
That is true and very, very important to remember. And as you said, we don't need the ideal housing market. We need to start working, or we have been working already, but we need to continue to work, and the housing market will follow at some point, hopefully.
Indeed.
But I think we have covered Europe pretty much quite well. But I know that you know a lot of things about outside Europe and EU as well. So how do you see the Housing First progressing, for example, Australia, New Zealand, and of course in United States? Is there some new things coming up, or is Housing First going as usual, for example, in America?
Well, as if Europe is not complicated enough, you ask me about what's happening in the world.
Yes.
I have always found the developments in Canada really fascinating, also because of this huge Housing First experiment they did, or they started now, it's probably almost 10 years ago, which is a fantastic source of information, scientific information about how Housing First works for different target groups. Even if it was a relatively narrow interpretation of Housing First with a particular target group in the focus, it's still there is research coming out from the Canadian experiment. It was the biggest randomized control trial in the world, to my knowledge, and it's a resource of information that can inform service providers and policymakers. So I think we should continue to look at Canada as an interesting source of information. In the US, we actually in Fianza first came into contact with Housing First in the US. It was in 2007 through our contacts with the Interagency Council on Homelessness, the US Interagency Council on Homelessness. So that's a long time ago. But I don't know if the US is still the country to look at. Like the Trump years, the four Trump years have not been very good for Housing First. The new leader of the housing, the Interagency Council on Homelessness of the U.S. Is a skeptic of Housing First. Some of the reports produced by the Trump government attack Housing First. There was a report from the Bureau of Economic Policy Advisors of Trump. They had a very sharp critique of Housing First, wanted to go back to conditional housing so that people get rid of their addiction problems before their house, etc. So I've seen a backlash in the US over the last 4 years, and hopefully that can be overcome. And now with Biden, they can become again an inspiration for the rest of the world. And then Australia and New Zealand, that is really quick developments happening there. Also quite interesting research. So we try to follow as much as possible. Like it's not like you only have so much time in a day, but to follow these developments very closely and get inspired from it. But I think now these days there's so many good developments in Europe that we should not forget to look at that as well and get inspired from that as well.
Yeah. That is completely true, and like you said, in the US we have the same. We have looked at the situation that the same as you, that they have been going a little bit backwards maybe during the past 4 years, and but now there has been some you know light at the end of the tunnel in some states. For example, in Texas, they are buying hotels for the homeless people and trying to convert them to some kind of not yes. Housing First units, but something like that. So there are some states and some cities that are yes. trying to do their best.
And what is always interesting about the US, I think, is that even if they have, or maybe because they have a worse social protection system than most countries in or maybe all countries in the European Union, it forces them to be more creative when urgent social policies, urgent social problems arise, like homelessness, for instance. And like you said, the creativity in terms of finding housing for homeless people, etc. Like now, I think it's also Los Angeles that is buying hotels and converting them in supported housing units, etc. Like that's all. The US has always been interested in that. Like there's a sort of grassroots creativity that is sometimes lacking in Europe. That has always been helpful, and it will continue to be helpful in the future.
Yeah, that is completely true, and what you said last that we should also look at the Europe, that there are so many good innovations going on in the field of homelessness work here as well, and in also in the Housing First work. And I think that our time is coming to an end, but in our script there is one last question for you, and it says that, can you say something positive for the coming years in the Housing First work?
Well,
not to say this conversation hasn't been positive, because it has been, but still.
That's exactly what I wanted to say. I said I have been actually quite positive throughout the conversation, and you know me well. Like I'm not known as a very positive person. I sometimes have to fight cynicism, etc. But no, really, I think there is a turning point, and maybe even the pandemic can help us to harness that turning point and make sure that it leads to positive dynamics. Like, yes, homelessness is increasing, and probably it will increase even further because of the pandemic. But the knowledge about how to address homelessness, and it goes beyond Housing First, is spreading so quickly, and I think Feanza has played a role in there, that I really think that there is no way back, really. I anticipate the developments in most countries to be positive. And now with the vaccination strategies going well and the end of the corona tunnel in sight, it helps me to be positive. And with the European momentum at the moment, policy momentum, I really think that I feel that in the last 20 years, I have never felt such a fantastic occasion to have an impact. Both the dynamics at local, national, and European level seem to be aligned, and that should be that should allow us to create a force for the good in the area of homelessness.
Aligning powers, that's something very positive, and the idea that no, there's no way back, and that's that's a positive idea. I like that one.
I hope you don't invite me back for a discussion in 10 years when it turns out that I was totally wrong, but I really hope I'm right.
Thank you, Freek. It has been a pleasure.
Same for me. Absolute pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much, Freek. It has been an absolute pleasure, and let's see if the European football games will be next summer, because I remember that we had a little bet on those games.
Indeed.
Belgium against Finland, so let's see if that game is ever going to be played, but hopefully so.
Yeah, my bet stays. I think Belgium will win.
yeah, mine as well. I think that game Pukki will score. But thank you so much for sharing this time with us, and let's hope that we don't talk again in 10 years in the same podcast.
No, indeed. Thanks a lot, and good luck with the podcast series.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This was the Finnish National Network podcast, season 2 and episode 2, and Freek Spinnevin, director of Feantsa, was our guest. Tune back in a couple of weeks, and we'll have another episode for you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.